Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Michael Hanford.
Hello.
And Timothy Kalpakis.
What is up?
Yes, yes. And
Sometimes, Jeff, you start these so quick, I don't have time to clear my throat.
That's all right.
I have to do it on mic.
It's good pod fodder, Mike.
Well, yeah, and the last thing you want to do, Mike, is lean away from the microphone to clear your throat.
Because I'm in such what Jeff calls the basketball right now. You're a basketball's length or something like that from the mic.
Forget. Stay within a basketball, I said, because we all have bad mic technique.
But I don't really know. Does that mean like your head, like a basketball could fit around your head and the mic?
No, your lips to the mic, lips to the mic.
Between, so there's a basketball's length.
Yeah, within a basketball.
Why would you, a guy who doesn't know or play sports, use basketball?
That's what he thinks basketballs are for. It's the only usage he's familiar with.
Yeah, and what's a basketball, like 3 feet wide?
Oh, yeah. Boy. Last time you touched one, you were in kindergarten, so you think that they're really big.
I thought you would have used a lightsaber base as the length.
Hilt, a lightsaber hilt. Hilt.
Oh, by the way, I love all that geek shit.
Yeah, you proved it last episode when you... No. Yes.
When you won the Nintendo quiz.
Yes.
You still sitting with that, Jeff? You still sitting with that?
Yeah, it's rent-free in my head, Michael.
Nice. Tim, I feel like I've cut you off 3 times.
Go ahead, Tim.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. You're kind of on a rampage, and it's pissing me off.
I cannot let anyone get a word in edgewise.
I'm going to go through the list of three things that I had to say. Well, first, I wanted to say that maybe your catchphrase should be clearing your throat, and then when listeners see us in public, they should come up and go, then I wanted to clarify.
That's going
to
become a thing.
I don't actually hate geek shit. I hate geek shit passed off as comedy. Be a geek all you want. It's really cool. Only about the comedy twist that.
Oh, passed off. I thought you said passed office comedy. I was like,
yeah. Office. Well, when geek comedy passed office comedy in the comedy charts, which has really had a lot to do with The Office going off the air. Right?
Yeah, they skyrocketed right after that.
And my third thing I don't remember. That one's lost to the sands of time.
Shit. That sucks.
Damn.
It's kind of cool, though.
But that's the whole thing here. Like, this is a big fan. I'd like to treat this this podcast, these episodes, as a big family dinner. And you got to get in there. You got to get in and say your thing, or you're just gonna chew up and spit out.
Yeah, that's what family dinner's like.
Yeah, that, if you're the food, yeah.
You know, it's
and spit out.
I feel like there's a thing. It's like, no, my family is a big family. We're all talking at the same time.
Yeah, and you gotta grab that potato, grab that chicken, or you gotta go to bed hungry.
Yeah, but Dad gets the big piece of chicken. Come on,
thank you.
You're welcome.
I had a thing where one time Dad didn't get somebody. My brother, I think, ate the big piece of chicken. My mom's sitting there stitching up. Oh, you ate the big piece of chicken. Uh-oh. I hope Chris Rock doesn't slap me.
Uh-oh.
That's his bit.
Yeah.
He's looking for someone to slap now to you know, blow off some of the steam. He's walking around, I can't believe I was slapped. Someone.
He's got his hand cocked at all times. You know what movie I just finished watching? I watched some of it on the plane coming back and finished it last night. Moonstruck. You ever seen this movie?
Great movie, Michael.
It is a fantastic movie.
How about that Nick Cage performance? So funny.
It's so weird. Like, everything is so weird in it, but it works so well. Like, the fact that Cher is marrying some guy who, Tony Aiello, who's like, look, I don't know how old he is in the movie, but he looks like he's like 40. And she's, yeah. I guess they say she's 37. So it's all kind of a later in life marriage thing. But very strange movie, but a very fun movie. The dad is really funny.
I love it. Yeah, the dad's funny. The old guy, when he's crying and he's like, I'm confused. I watched the special features on that one kind of recently, and it's written by like a playwright, you know, like,
that makes
I think,
sense.
Yeah, that, and the director, I simply don't remember.
His name was something I didn't recognize it as from like other movies.
Well, there would be no way of finding it out.
No.
Norman Jewison.
Norman Jewison. I don't know his name from anything else. The dad from Frasier was in it, and he was great. He's like plays like a womanizing. I'll leave it in case Jeff wants to see it.
I haven't seen.
You That's should right. see.
I will.
You will.
I like him because he's philandering, but he's you know, he feels bad about it, and he's kind of like, "What's my deal?"
Yeah.
So Moonstruck, what's the premise of it? She's a witch?
No. You're thinking of Witches of Eastwick. Witches of Eastwick?
All right. So it's not really a moon thing.
It's a love story, Jeff. It's a Brooklyn love story.
Gotcha. Well, on the cover, she looks like a witch.
She's not.
Oh, yeah. I guess you could see that as a witch. More but of a modern look of a witch. no pointy hat, wearing a maroon dress. Dancing in the moon.
Young Nick Cage, though, he plays a baker who has lost his hand in a baking accident, and he has such rage about it. It's so funny. He's like, I lost my hand!
I love the part when he's like, get the big knife, I'm going to slit my throat.
It's funny what a great job Nick Cage did of like hiding his sort of wackiness for so long. Like, it really has just slowly come out over time that he's just such a weirdo.
I think like in his personal life or his acting?
His way of talking.
We had him up there as just like a normal leading man, nothing to see here. But, you know, he's like a little a charming weirdo actor. And then now it's like he's off the rails. Like people go to him for like wackadoo movies.
Right. And he's like an ironic celebrity and he knows about it and stuff. I think that the weird thing was just that we caught him right in his 5 years of normalcy. It was like early on, he was kind of a weirdo. And then later on, he was a weirdo. But when we were like in junior high, he was in like action movies.
Yeah, Con Air.
Con Air and The Rock and stuff like that. And he was kind of just being a leading man.
He is. People love this movie. I think ironically, but the Hidden Treasure, or not Hidden Treasure, America's National. Treasure? What's National Treasure. America's National Treasure. It's the choices he makes are crazy, and the whole movie is crazy. But it's a fun watch if you haven't seen it.
Mike, weren't you H.I. McDonough for Halloween 1 year?
I was. That was good. A lot of people thought I was Jim Carrey from the Ace Ventura series.
Yes.
I could see it, but you had to look at the details.
The tattoo.
The tattoo was right there. I want to see his new movie where he's like playing himself as like a weirdo.
Yeah. The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Yeah, that looks cool.
Which I don't like that the studio has done that thing where the TV spots just say like Massive Talent, and it says The Unbearable Weight of in like tiny font above it. The way that like they can't sell anything that's more than four words.
Yeah.
How to Train Your Dragon. They were just like, go see DreamWorks Dragon.
Well, I like to when I go to the movie theater and get a ticket because I still do. I don't even buy it online anymore. I get that. At the box office, I say, two for talent.
Cool. Why do they say DreamWorks Dragon? If you're cutting down on the words, get DreamWorks out of there. In general, the public is not paying attention to what studio makes their movie. They're just going to see a movie. They don't know who made it.
You know why, Tim?
What?
Corporate shit.
But in what world does that PR even help them? Like, there's kids walking around being like, I'm going to see the next DreamWorks movie.
right?
It's not about it's about, oh, Tim, you are so naive and where the money comes from in this industry. You claim to have won an Emmy or nominated for an Emmy in.
Yes, I'm a one-time Emmy nominee.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't walk around and call myself DreamWorks' Tim Kalpakis.
There's a reason for that, because you don't understand the business and you're never going to be at DreamWorks.
Yeah, DreamWorks wouldn't touch me with a 40-foot pole.
No.
All right, are we ready for some booze news?
Fine.
Hit it!
1, 2, 3, 4.
Nice. You want it all, but you can't have it. Okay. It's in your face, but you can grab it.
What is it? Listen. What is up? Listen. What is up? Listen. What is up? West Coast styling.
Oh, okay. This is nice.
Damn, ooh, epic booze cool. News by Rick Tapper, a.k.a. The Rock Topper. And if you have a booze news theme, email it to the Sloppy Boys Podcast at gmail.com.
Tapper. I feel like we've heard from him before. Is he a...
Rick Topper?
Yeah.
Tapper.
Rock Topper.
Yep.
Tapper's the topper.
Hmm. Yep. He's good.
We've talked about Tapper the Game. Was that him singing? That's Faith No More, right, is the band?
Yes.
That's a band who I hear of. I only know that song. And it's a band who I have heard of in the rock and roll parlance. And I'm like, who is... I don't know any songs by them, but people think they're great.
Who are you?
Like, they toured with Guns N' Roses and Metallica on that big tour in, like, the 90s.
Oh, wow. Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I only know that one song, but I imagine that they're early rap rockers in the kind of Red Hot Chili Pepper vein. You know another band I only know one song by? I was just thinking about same era. Space Hog. I only know in the meantime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they... Did they do more songs?
I mean, Jeff, I think that's a verifiable one-hit wonder.
You had a Space Hog t-shirt at one point.
No.
No, you should have. I should have. You can play the bass line so well.
That's what you're thinking of. He should have had a Space Hog t-shirt.
You should have had that.
So, but you're saying that Faith No More is not a one-hit wonder and they have other hits, we just don't know them.
I don't know if they have hits. That's what I'm concerned about.
Fuck, you got
that. That video for that song, though, was cool. At the end, it kind of ends with a guy playing piano by himself, and then he gets up and walks away, and the piano blows up.
He's good.
Looks like they have another song called Easy.
Oh, yeah.
It ain't easy being a rock and roll legend.
Yeah. Oh, sounds funny, but I just
can't stand the pain. I don't know this song.
Easy like Sunday morning.
Ooh.
All right, what's the real booze news?
Okay, booze news. I mean, this is kind of the ultimate in booze news. Let's say that there's the news is that at a brewery in Troy, New York tonight, the Sloppy Boys are playing. And it's a free show. You don't even need a ticket. You just go to it.
Whoa, Band of the People.
Yeah, and then tomorrow at a that's at Rare Form Brewery in Troy, New York. Tomorrow at Faces Brewing, just outside of Boston in Malden, you got the Sloppy Boys playing at 5 and 8 p.m. And then, what's more, Sunday night in Philadelphia at Philomoka. That's not a brewery. It's an art gallery performance space. But you got the Sloppy Boys playing there.
Oh, baby.
So that's kind of cool.
Come on out, folks.
Can I tell you, the tour's been great so far. I've been having a blast.
Oh, yeah. So we're out there with Dear Blanca. These guys are power popper indie rockers, and they invited us to join them upon a tour, and we've been just kind of having a blast.
Yeah, that's some good booze news, Tim.
Thank you.
These are going to be good shows. I can't wait for tonight. Tonight was a free show. Is a free show.
Yeah. When the fans don't pay a price, we kind of are not really obligated to do shit, you know? We could just go up there and be like, well, what the fuck are you going to do?
Yeah. We're just going to antagonize the audience until they ask us to leave.
Well, is that it for booze news?
We'll wrap it up.
I can't go one step farther.
You're clear us against the mountain.
Jeff.
What? I can't play a little Holy Mountain clip on my own goddamn show?
That's, you know, I know that's a big artistic movie for all those artistic movie guys, but that's, there are different clips to play than rub my clitoris on the mountain.
Yeah, because usually it's just like, bee whoop.
usually.
Yeah, but you've taken it up a notch. You've taken it up and down a notch simultaneously, and I think that's too bad.
Have all of the sounds, I'm not paying attention, but every week, is it always a clit rubbing on a mountain?
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, sometimes it'll be from a video game. Sometimes it'll be from a movie.
Hmm. That is an insane movie.
I've never seen it. I only know it from the poster on your wall, Jeff.
Oh, that'd be a good blowout.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. I mean, you're one of the producers of the blowout, so you should know if it would make a good one or not.
Yeah. Hey, produced by John and Yoko Money.
Ooh. Ooh. Some of that Imagine Money.
All right. Who's got the drink?
The drink of the day. Bop, bop, Americano. I was going to prepare that sound clip. What song is that? Yeah, yep, yep, blood of an Americano.
Bop, bop, Americano. Beep, beep, beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep. Oh.
Zoop, zoop, zoop.
It's
zoom,
called Pop.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. Yeah, zoom, zoom, zoom.
Okay, that's a different
one. Master Zoom, zoom. What am I thinking of?
Pop on Americano is by a band called Yolanda Be Cool.
Hmm. Was that sampled by Pitbull or something like that more recently? I feel like I've heard it in something.
Pop Americano.
Hmm. I don't know, but I know that Yolanda Be Cool is a reference to Pulp Fiction.
Yolanda Vega.
Who?
Wait, what's that? Who's Yolanda That's Vega?
Jeff, do you know what that is? Yolanda Vega did the New York State lottery called the balls that yes. popped up.
She would read the numbers.
The first number.
That's so eight. Funny. Like, hey, I'm Yolanda Vega. And I'd be like, holy shit, mom, dad, it's Yolanda Vega.
Her timing was, I met a lady out here at a party once, and I was like, her name was Yolanda. I was like, Yolanda Vega. And she was like, I know, that's what everyone says. Because I guess I didn't realize that it was a statewide thing. I was just like, oh, that's what we used to have at home.
The drink, the Americano, you've had?
No.
You've heard?
I've heard because I get Americanos, the coffee ones, mm-hmm. all the time. And then I knew there was another one out there. And today, I meet it.
There's another.
Now, if you had to guess...
There is another.
Do you think there's a connection between the two? When you say you're getting an Americano coffee, you know what that is, right? How they're making it?
Yeah, it's espresso and ice water?
Just hot water. I mean, I guess you could have an iced Americano.
Oh, I do.
I thought I was under the impression that Americano is just like a coffee.
But it's because...
If you go to an espresso place that doesn't have normal drip coffee...
Yes.
You order an Americano and they just give you your espresso with a bunch of hot water in it to kind of emulate a normal
Simulates
coffee.
American coffee.
Oh, okay.
But it's not that far off, Jay, because you're about to hear about an Italian... drink mm-hmm. that does have water in it, so
that's
gonna be kind of cool for you.
It does have water in it.
Okay. does espresso not have water in it?
Why do they call it espresso, Mike?
I guess because we drink it, it zips you up. But yes. My question more mostly is there's no water in it.
Well, espresso is a tiny little 1 ounce pour, and it's really strong. So you people that don't want to. Yes, it has water in it, but it only has like 1 ounce of water in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
An Americano coffee has like fucking 6 ounces of water in it.
I feel like I'm distracting from the point. Please go ahead, Tim.
Yes. Well, here's what's kind of cool. Do you guys remember in the Negroni episode of the Sloppy Boys podcast?
Mm-hmm. Taking me back.
We learned that the Negroni, very popular cocktail that we know, mm-hmm. was created at a cafe in Florence when General Negroni... He was ordering an Americano, right? And he said, look, we told this story and we said, what's an Americano? But in like the history of the Negroni, it's like, well, everyone knows about Americanos at the cafes of Italy. And General Negroni was like, look, I've been spending a lot of time in America and they make real stiff cocktails over there. And I've kind of acquired a taste for it. So I would like an Americano, but could you hold the soda and put gin in there so it's nice and stiff. And oh, that cool. caught on, and that is the Negroni that we know and love. So now a year of our lives has passed, and we've been walking around thinking, what was the Americano? What did General Negroni start with?
What was the precursor?
Interesting. Yeah.
now the time has finally come. And I've not had, and I had not heard, so I'm learning along with you. The IBA says, the story of the Americano dates back to the second half of the 1800s in Gaspar Campari's bar in Milan. Gaspar Campari, that's the Campari guy, folks.
The actual guy.
Gaspar, wow.
The very dude that made that bitter, bitter liqueur we love so much.
Bitter liqueur. That
ashy, bitter crap.
Okay, Mike, remind us about the ashiness. It was, you didn't buy Campari. You bought Luxardo Bitters, maybe? Luxardo Bitter, and it was red, and you found it had an ashy taste. But then when you drink ashy Campari, does it still taste ashy to you?
I have to double check that. I'm going to say yes, because I do have the Campari Bitter, but we don't know that that's an ingredient yet, but it is. And I remember that kind of being not what I like either. Any, like, red alcohol from now on, I'm just kind of... expecting an ashtray mouth.
Throws his hands up.
Yeah. Fair enough. I mean, I can't argue with that.
It doesn't get much redder than this one, too.
I know.
It makes sense. Red, fire, burning embers, ashiness. I totally get where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. Mike is nodding, yes. Now, you're probably thinking, hey, Tim, hold on. Before you tell us what's in this drink, like, what about the name? Why all this America talk? The Americano is an Italian drink, and then an Italian guy goes to America and comes back with tweaks. What? Well, a couple conflicting opinions here. IBA says, the International Bartenders Association that makes a list, they say that the nickname American was born when Primo Carnera, a giant Italian boxer, became world heavyweight champion at Madison Square Garden. When he returned to Italy with the title, he was greeted with this very Italian cocktail for the occasion, and they called it the Americano as a tribute to his big victory. But Liquor.com says it's believed that the name stems from its popularity among American tourists. And it's possible that the name wasn't even affixed until the Prohibition era, when Americans absconded to Europe in droves, thirsty for good drinks. I like the boxer explanation better. It's more concise.
That's like if you go to Japan or something and you come home and everybody's like, "Hey, Mr. Japan." You know, you're not any more Japanese, but like that's the thing they think about. So they're like, "Hey, Americano, all right."
You know what's a really good version of that is little Stevie Van Zandt of Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. His original nickname in that band was Miami Steve, and I thought it was because he was from Miami, but he's from New Jersey, but he went to Miami one time, and then when he got back, Bruce was like, "Miami Steve, all right." And for years, he would like wear a fedora and be like a Miami guy.
That's great.
It's like, that's why we call you Santa Fe Tim, because you went to Santa Fe recently.
Yeah, I've been there, and look, I'm wearing a t-shirt that says Santa Fe on it right now. If you can believe. So at Campari's bar, this is like in Italy around that time, they'd mix up their vermouth with stuff. There was a drink that was called like a Milano Torino. And it's like, a bitter from Milano and a vermouth from Turin. And, you know, Italians like that sweet, sweet vermouth, but Americans like to mix it with something. So I could see some truth in the tourist thing, but basically we're talking about a cafe drink, okay? And that's where it's used in media. You know, when you guys think James Bond and you think of the book Casino Royale, you're probably thinking, oh, the Vesper Martini or the Vodka Martini. But the first drink mentioned that James Bond drinks in the first Bond book is actually an Americano. And then... In From Russia with Love, he drinks two excellent Americanos on his flight from Rome to Istanbul. And then in From a View to a Kill, Bond says, "In cafes, you have to drink the least offensive of the musical comedy drinks that go with them." Musical comedy drinks. Maybe he thinks they're rinky-dinky drinks.
I don't understand that.
But then in the 2010 film, The Tourist, with Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie, they have Americanos before and after their fancy Venetian dinner. So what we're getting here is, it's a daytime drink. It's a before dinner drink. It's a cafe drink. And the reason is that it is an easy drinking afternoon sipper, sweet, not too boozy. It's a low alcohol type of affair. Yes. And the ingredients are 30 milliliters, a.k.a. 1 ounce, of bitter Campari, and 30 milliliters, 1 ounce, of sweet red vermouth. And on top of that, a splash of soda water. Method: mix the ingredients directly in an old-fashioned glass filled with ice cubes. Add splash of soda water. Stir gently. Garnish with half orange slice and a lemon zest.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I got the orange slice or the lemon zest. God damn
it. Me neither. I forgot the garnishes. And what's more, we've learned that vermouth shouldn't be held on to for too long. And yes, mine's in the fridge, but
oh, mine's old.
Mine's been in the fridge for a fucking year.
I think that's most people, though. We're making this drink to the letter of the law, but the way people keep red vermouth, especially, no, but nobody has fresh red vermouth.
Yeah, I have that big bottle of Nuali Prat from the last time. And I looked at it and I was like, man, this isn't even opened. And no, I did open it and I used fucking 15 milliliters of it. And the whole bottle's just been sitting in there for a year.
Hey, I've never seen this. I'm looking at the IBA list. After the garnish, I've never seen a history below it.
I know, me neither.
Have I never scrolled that far?
Well, I think that the IBA is kind of zhuzhing up their website, and maybe histories are going to be part of it.
It makes our jobs easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a one-stop shop for us.
You don't have to record episodes anymore. Just kind of tweet at people, hey, go to the IBA website.
From now on, the history on the IBA is the official history we're going
with. Yeah, we'll just read the URL.
I know that James Bond prefers Perrier in his Americano, so I got Perrier. But I'm curious because I always think of like sparkling waters like that. I got the teeny little bubbles, and they're not always great for mixing. Sometimes you want club soda to really bubble the thing up.
Yeah, I went to the store and I got two things. I got seltzer water, Hal's New York seltzer water,
Hal's,
and club soda because I didn't know what the fuck soda water was.
I have a Canada Dry club soda.
Club soda.
I'm going to, with no research, I'm going to take a big swing and tell you what I think the difference is, Michael.
Yeah.
I think that club soda has some sodium in it. And does that label say there's sodium in it?
Oh, yeah. Here it is. Sodium, 0 milligrams. Tim, we gotta redo our little theory here, bud.
Oh, back to the drawing board on that one. Jesus.
Interchangeable, I thought we discovered. Dude, this has come up before.
Yeah.
I mean, interchangeable amongst people talking like, hey, club soda, seltzer, sparkling water, whatever. But you would think for brands that are making it, I've definitely seen like side by side seltzer and club soda, like the same brand, no?
Or well, the little insane thing I went to do a little Google search while I was in the grocery store. And this little thing, the explanation was like switching. It didn't seem like they were calling club soda and soda water different things. It seemed like that was interchangeable. So I don't know what.
Here's what I'm seeing on Eater.
And I didn't see anything that said soda water on the.
Club soda is also carbonated with carbon dioxide, but unlike seltzer, it has the addition of potassium bicarbonate and potassium sulfate in the water. These minerals give it a slightly saltier taste than seltzer, which makes it a favorite of bartenders.
Now, what about sparkling water? Is that just water that we happen to find in the wild and it's already bubbly and you don't have to carbonate it?
Ooh, what a gold mine that would be to stumble upon a wild seltzer fountain.
I did that once. I was digging in the desert and a bunch of Perrier shot right up
my ears. The good thing about not knowing this, though,
oh, grapefruit flavors.
It's just a splash of each one of these, so it's not going to mess with it too
much. Agreed.
Well, do we get into it?
Yeah.
Folks, we'll be right back with Americanos in hand after the ads.
Right
on. Bup, an Americano.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
And we're back with Americanos. Hey, equal parts. That's nice.
Yeah.
Love that.
Except for the splash.
Except for the splash.
Oh, yours is huge. Look at mine. Mine didn't make much. You made double, Jeff.
No. I just did a lot of cubes and I'm a law-abiding citizen.
And you splashed more. Mike, you maybe had about a small splash.
I did a tiny splash.
Oh, no. I think I did maybe make a double. I just filled a shot glass with both.
I went with a big splash. And I'll tell you what. My my vermouth, it's the kind I like. It said on it, like, Antica Vermutha di Giuseppe Campari, the very guy.
Wow.
Of the cafe. So I'm having Campari, I got a legit thing going on here.
Damn.
I took a little sip of my Campari, and yes, this is ashy too. The taste is the, those little bitter shooters we did?
Yeah.
That's the similar to the taste. So it's Underbergs. That's what I'm talking about when I say ashy.
Okay, so something bitter Campari tastes ashy to you, and then also those little shots bitters. Of bitters that we do. So
yeah.
It's almost as if the word to describe these flavors was bitter rather than ashy.
you would think. But let's keep going with this episode.
First sips, here we go. And before you take a sip, imagine you're sitting at a little cafe in Florence, or you're up in Milan hanging out with Giuseppe himself. It's afternoon. And people are walking by, and you're just whiling away the hours.
Great.
Well, I knew I wouldn't like this. I just knew it.
Mike.
Sad. Sad, really sad.
Sorry, man. Sorry to do this to you.
It's all right.
Hey, we're here for you, Mike, if you want to talk about it.
You didn't do anything. It's this Giuseppe did it to me.
Man, you'd think a nice big hunk of orange would help, but I don't know if it does.
Give it a squeeze. Mike, if Giuseppe Campari's descendants are listening, do you have a message for them?
Destroy this drink.
All copies.
All copies. If you don't know, folks, what we're talking about, it's the Al Pacino, Dunkachino part of Jack and Jill. Look it up on YouTube. It's very funny.
Oh, as if anyone out there hasn't seen the classic film Jack and Jill, which I saw opening day at the theater, daytime, matinee. I saw it like noon the day it came out. Damn. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew I would like this more than you guys would, but at least give me this. This drink is, if you sipped their parts, sweet red vermouth, Campari, and soda, this is greater than the sum of its parts. Would you not agree with that? I think that this is rather refreshing, rather delicious, and it reminds me of, I was at an Italian deli in Pasadena with Mookie not too long ago, and I got a red soda that was called Bitter. It was non-alcoholic, but it was a soda, and this tastes exactly like that.
Yeah, there's something in here that is really cutting through, it, I mean, it's the vermouth, cutting through the Campari in a way I did not expect, because I'm not tasting that bad vermouth taste, which I don't usually like.
And I'll give you this, Mike. Fucking, let's say you want to take part in the spritz culture, but you don't like champagne, which is your situation. If you have this, now you're having a low ABV bubbler in the afternoon with all your cool Italiano friends.
Yeah.
You didn't have to have any Prosecco.
I like that. Ooh, I love that. So I didn't put much of a splash in here. I just went bloop real quick with the splash.
A true splash, yeah.
Mine is really, like, not really, but it tastes kind of thick. Like, it's the color, too, is reminding me of, like, a cough syrup. Thick.
How about you go ahead and put a bigger splash? I think you're going to be happy with the results, Mike.
Yeah.
You want me to put a bigger splash? Nah, put a bigger splash.
Hey, because that Campari's got, like, sugary, like, around the rim. You know, when I took the cap off, there was, like, cakey sugar everywhere.
Ew.
Isn't that Campari? Or is it vermouth that does that?
Well, it would be the Campari, yeah, but mine does, I get that on the top of my, orgeat or something that's really sugary.
Maybe it was mold.
Yeah.
Okay. I put a bigger splash.
I think as we get meltier, I like it too.
Oh, now we're talking. That's a great drink.
Wow. Beaming ear to ear.
Oh, yes. yeah, I don't. We'll keep talking about this.
Well, I like it's in general, what a weird thing, right? When any recipe says splash, it leaves it up to us how much you can splash. Mm-hmm. And this is not necessarily a drink where you're thinking like, oh, I'm going to top it up. I'm going to go all the way to the top, like a highball.
Yeah.
So we're left. It's kind of like the Russian root of the Kalpi. No, Russian root spells out a recipe. Kalpi cordial. It's kind of up to you to add your cherry coke.
Yeah. And when I'm splashing on top of Campari and sweet vermouth, I'm thinking Shamu splash, big splash, SeaWorld.
There's nothing wrong with that. Splash away.
I don't want this to be too big because I like the idea of drinking this in one of those little old-timey
little nippers.
Crystal glasses. Yeah. It's like a little tiny wine glass.
I want this in a big jug. And
a chug jug?
It's weak and it's, chug mug. What do you think of I feel like this drink, I haven't seen these around, but remember a few months ago, we were kind of talking about the trend of low alcohol, like not full on like sobriety, but a lot of people were like, I drank too much during COVID and now I'm interested in lower alcohol drinks.
Mm-hmm. What a funny trend that would destined to be short-lived.
Right. I'm still going to drink, but it's also funny because it's just like, so there's less alcohol in this glass that I'm having now, but I can have four of these.
I'm having six of these as opposed to three of the other kind.
I'll just pay more money.
But it's funny to think that this thing that we're drinking right now, my brain is almost plugging in because you're used to there being a liquor in the drink, like a Negroni. So my brain is thinking like, Tim, be careful with his drink because it's probably very boozy, but it's really not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got to say, I'm liking it a lot more now. It's not even that melty. Look at it. Full glass. No. Maybe it's just your taste buds take a second to turn a little Italiano.
Yeah, I was a little... I bet, you know, Jeff, I bet there's something to that. I bet
your taste buds take a while to turn Italiano?
The bitter taste is sort of a unique, extreme taste. So your tongue doesn't get that very often. So when it gets a big dose of it, it goes, wait a minute, I don't like this, but I'll ease into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the bitter stuff in drinks, it's like, it's not meant to be so bitter that your mouth is like, ooh, that's bitter. It's just supposed to bump up against your tongue a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. Just a little nudge. Hey, wait a second. I'm not going down smooth.
Don't forget me. I'm challenging.
A soft elbow right in your ribs. Hey. Hi. Like when you're at a concert and the music's too loud and someone who you're supposed to be meeting there sidles up next to you and just pokes you a little bit, says, I'm here. Yes. Good.
Oh, yeah.
But yes. Or, and when I say concert, I mean like a, you know,
rave
string quintet type of thing. So it's not the type of place where you, I'm here, dude.
Hey, another situation could be like it's 2004. Mike Hanford's at a Yeah Yeah Yeahs show in L.A. and there's a guy giving him an evil eye the whole night and scaring the hell out of him.
Then I give him a nudge, but it ain't so much a soft one. It ain't in the ribs.
it's a five knuckle nudge to the fucking head.
Boom. You cops, stop looking at me.
Hey, what was that, Mike? You had a thing about punches. It was a trip to the planetarium. Boosh, you're seeing stars.
A five knuckle nudge. That's funny though. That's a five knuckle nudge.
Yeah.
What would you like, a five-knuckle nudge or a trip to the planetarium? Your choice. I got two fists, right? I got two tickets waiting for you. God, I got to get in more fights.
I'll echo Jeff in saying this is, it's getting better as it's.
Yeah. Well, here. You came in guns a-blazing. I knew I wouldn't like this drink, he said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's certain expectations I have to live up to per my ACAS contract. That I have to be the guy who is disagreeable with the drinks. Bitter guy, calls bitter ashy.
What's been going on with your helicopter lately?
We've decided to sort of not even talk about that much anymore. It's
sorry.
The numbers on Gale Watch are in, and it's
not
it's,
so good.
It served its purpose. It's set up. No, we just needed it to set up a blowout. We did that. Done.
I get it, man. Yeah. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel it's early evening right now? This is your first drink of the night.
First of many.
You're having an aperitivo. I feel like appropriately, the buzz is slowly tiptoeing in. It's not like, hey, I just got out of work and bow, I'm blasting a martini and my face turns red and I get all sweaty. Like this came out of nowhere. I'm tiptoeing into the evening. And then I would have my dinner, and then I'd blast a couple of martinis to the dome, you know?
So there still is the option of getting blasted off martinis is still there.
Still on the table.
There's no way of getting that off the table.
It's very difficult to avoid.
It's inevitable. But this is a gentler takeoff.
Yes, it's a gentle takeoff, and I like that. That's what I like about the Aperol Spritz. I'll have it by a pool sometime, and I'll say I'm tiptoeing in. I'm not going to drown in this pool. I'm just gonna have a nice buzz.
I'm gonna lay down in it.
Have any of no the th- none of the three Slobby Boys have ever been to Italy? Can you believe that?
No,
no. I'm severely under traveled for a guy my age.
No. You got to go to Italy.
Have you been?
No.
Maybe Mike, you and I chip in. We send Jeff to Italy. What do you think?
We'll bring your camcorder, Jeff, and come back and show us everything.
I like the idea of the old days when people would come back from a vacation and give a slideshow to their friends.
Yeah.
It's like a trope in like Garfield or something. It'd be like, oh, John's boring slideshows after all his vacations.
That feels like a thing that comes up in, what's the Far Side comic?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like cows and, you know, scientists and showing people your movies or your slideshows.
That'd be fun. I'd like to see somebody's slides.
What a funny dated trope that is that doesn't exist anymore. Because that was always the thing. It was like fruitcake, you know, because it would be like, oh, the thing that you do with the social thing, but nobody likes it and they got to sit through it.
That was a Garfield strip for sure that was like, everyone's re-gifting fruitcakes so Christmas year after year. And who even bought the original fruitcake? I don't know that I've ever eaten a fruitcake.
Blowout, good blowout.
Oh, yeah.
A fruitcake. I think I've had some fruitcake before. It's like it's almost like gummy.
It's got like hard gummy
dried fruit in
gumdrops or something in it.
You know what I would put in there? You know what I would put in there, Mike? I'll give you one guess.
Lime.
Fucking weed, man.
Sour patch.
Ooh, yeah. For after the weed.
Actually, lime and weed sound pretty good too.
So Jeff's fruitcake recipe is lime, weed, and Sour Patch Kids.
Lime. The showing the slides after vacation reminds me of a time, and I think maybe I've only seen this on TV shows. It never happened to me in real life, but you going to a party for someone like a bon voyage party. Like, hey, you're going to Hawaii. We're throwing you a party before you leave.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's like something that would happen on Cheers or whatever.
Yeah, like, yeah. Just... We're finally going on a cruise. Oh, we got to throw a bon voyage party for you.
I love that. I want to go and smash a bottle of champagne on the bow of a boat and say, mm-hmm. Have a good one. Psh!
You know what would be funny is if we throw ourselves a bon voyage party, so all of our friends come and throw us a party, but then we don't leave, and we stay, and we have to be incognito, and we stay hidden for a week.
How about this party for a Sloppy Boys movie? We just go town to town and have bon voyage parties. And
it's like, hey, bon voyage, we're going to Pasadena. And then we have a party up there.
Now we're going to Santa Anita.
We have to keep kind of inviting people from the last bon voyage party. How would this work? Because we need to, each new place we go to, we need to have people who would care enough to be at the party.
You got
to
make friends for a few months. Okay. Join social clubs, get a poker game going.
Yeah, that'd be good.
You know, that scam reminds me of a funny travel prank. you guys know famed comedy editor Mike Giambra of Absolutely Studios?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Great. Hilarious guy, great editor for all your favorite shows, you know, in the kind of the Nathan Fielders and the Tim Heidecker shows and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
The Birthday Boys pilot.
Got that thing picked up, no problem.
Real quick.
I remember, like, we all turned to Mike and said, you got that picked up real quick, didn't you? it was the quickest pickup ever in network history. He did a funny thing a few years ago. Do you remember where he went on a cruise by himself, like 3 days, but he took a lot of selfies where he was just looking sad on the boat. And then he just, so when he got back from a 3-day cruise, he just kind of kept posting the selfies for like months. And I followed him on Instagram. I'd be like, you okay, man? What's going on? And it was just like him looking seasick on a boat for like half a year.
But you so the joke was that he like was still out there on this.
Yeah, the joke was just trip. Like, how long has this guy been on this boat for? What's
That's good.
Yep.
That's good. That's a good vacation prank. And if you have a vacation prank, mail it in to sloppyboysvacayPranks @gmail.gmail.
Yeah, when you say mail it in, you do the prank.
Do the prank.
And then you kind of write it up and mail it in.
Yeah, write up a description of what you did.
Okay. Send away for it.
I'm not going through a half a year's worth of selfies. Gap-ish.
Absolutely understood.
Well,
gap-ish.
What do you say we take another break and we do a round two? And when we come back, I want to taste the ingredients as is.
Whoa, okay.
Because I can't picture what sweet red vermouth tastes like.
It's kind of good. It tastes a little bit like a Luxardo cherry, a little bit like cherry hearing. Me
Ooh.
Like you.
All right.
Okay, cool.
I'll do that. I'll get my
Yeah, bring your raw ingredients to the pod.
Okay.
Love it.
Folks, see you in a bit.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
And we're back with Campari and Wally Pratt.
My Campari does have a little sugar around the top, Jay.
Yeah, right? And my, I don't know how to say this, Nwali Pra, I don't know. It's French. It's my vermouth.
Wait, what's your Campari look like? When's it?
My Campari is the standard, the gold standard.
It's the brand,
Campari is Campari, right? Okay.
Campari is Campari. What do we sip first? Campari?
Oh, my red vermouth? Dolan.
Hell yeah.
All right, let's sip a little Campari. Just going to the dome.
La-dee-dee.
Wasn't Dolan the name of a fake president in a Birthday Boy sketch?
Like, yeah, Craig
president Dolan.
Craig Dolan.
Oh.
Yeah, they made us change it to Dolan. Do you remember that? Because there was a Dolan at IFC, and IFC was like, hey, could you change Dolan? And we said, we'll change it to Dolan. And they said, okay.
And what a weird...
Perfect.
Weird.
All right, so this is the Campari?
Yep.
Very bitter. I understand why we water it down.
You, ugh. You know, Tim, you brought Campari to a party famously, right?
Yep. Campari to a party.
He'll bring Campari to the party.
Yeah, at the time I didn't really know that you don't really, it's not a party starter. It's sort of people don't like it, but I was drinking Campari on the rocks all night saying, has anyone tried this?
Okay. Vermouth. Just a little sip.
Vermouth month.
Ugh. It smells bad.
It does smell bad.
Yeah, it's like winey. Not bad.
I'm going to be winey if in a second after I try this.
See, mine's good. Ugh. Mine is Antica, Ricetta, Vermouth, Pregiato, Antica, Formula, Vermouth di Giuseppe B. Carpano. Hey, I lied. It's Giuseppe Carpano, not Giuseppe Campari.
No.
Wait a second. Let me look back at my notes. When I was describing the drink, did I say Giuseppe Campari? No, Gaspare Campari. Not Giuseppe Carpano. Gaspare Carpani.
It was Gaspare Carpani.
Now, my Campari says David Campari. That's not Gaspar.
Yeah, that's what mine says, too. I'm going to be having nightmares about Gaspare Campari and
I got to look
Giuseppe
at my Campari here.
Carpano.
Oh, where are you seeing this name?
Oh, on my vermouth.
David Campari Milano.
Jesus.
I still don't know how I feel about this vermouth.
Yeah, the vermouth is crazy.
I've had sweet vermouth, red vermouths I absolutely hate, but this brand is utterly delicious. Just a little too sweet on its own.
You know, you ever have like a beef stew that has a lot of red wine in it?
Yeah, I love that.
I bet that would be good with this Dolan I got here, because it kind of tastes
It's a good idea to get through your vermouth. We all know this shit's just going to rot in your fridge. May as well make a big beef stew.
Make a stew.
make a stew. Hey, have you heard about that drink that's half Coca-Cola, half red wine?
Yes. Never had.
Oh, yeah.
We should do that sometime.
That's a Spain thing, right?
Yeah.
We'll do it for tomorrow's episode.
Actually.
I mean, next week's episode.
Not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea at all.
Okay, what are your final thoughts? Spill them.
I'm just drinking club soda now and ice and the remains of my original.
So you'd hated it, you liked it, and you're back to you don't care.
This is not an order again for me, but I might order it again.
Okay. Wow.
I thought I hated it when I first took a sip of it, And then it grew on me. But I'm probably not going to order it again, but I might.
You will.
I mean, how many years you got ahead of you, you think, you know? You gotta sort of wonder.
Yeah. That's true. It's one of those things where I can't imagine my being in the mood for one of these. But right. If I was, I would order it again.
I mean, life is long. Mm-hmm. And I think when we say order again or not, we should be like, if I knew I only had 1 year left on this planet, would I have this again?
Mm-hmm. If you had 1 day to live, would you drink an Americano?
Yes.
That'd be pretty sad if you drank anything really. Because I feel like if I was like, oh my God, I got 1 day to live, I'm going to go to my liquor cabinet and get drunk, then I wouldn't remember the next 23 hours. You know, you kind of, I'd want to be stone sober and soak up all that lifetime.
Okay.
And I hate talking about the Lifetime channel. That would be pathetic if I had 24 hours to live and I watched the Lifetime channel.
See, I would kind of lean into that and do a thermos of Americanos and just watch Lifetime till I fade out.
Just try and disassociate. So yeah, this is not an order again for me. The best part is the garnish, a big hunk of orange and the club soda splash.
Jeff, how does it stack up to the Aperol Spritz for you?
You know, I don't like any of them. Plain and simple.
So no stacking. There's no stacking. There's no stack.
It's a horizontal stack heading right for the trash.
It's a line.
Wasn't there a sitcom starring Pam Anderson and she was a librarian and it was called Stacked?
Yeah.
Oh,
Was that Pam Anderson? Huh.
Had to be Fox, right?
Yeah, better be.
Is it? Maybe it was PBS.
How funny that Fox is like, we're a little bit raunchier than the other networks. We can't actually say any bad words, but we're a little bit raunchier.
We're going to suggest a little harder.
Tim, what are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, you're being all quiet over there, Tim.
I like it. I prefer the Negroni, right? Because I'm a Negroni fan.
Sure.
So, let's say it's a sunny Italiano day, and I'm seated out at a cafe, and everyone's kind of walking by. Hey, Calabacchis, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have this. If it's too early for a Negroni, I would have an Americano, and I would thank you for it.
Is it a bruncher?
Yeah, maybe. It's like if everyone's getting Aperol spritzes, and I say, I want something else that's bubbly and has an orange slice in it, but I don't want it to be too sweet because this is less sweet than a spritz. You know, instead of Aperol, it's Campari and it's, you know, soda. yeah, I like it. I'll drink it again. And I'm going to keep it in my mind specifically as a way of getting through my vermouths and my Camparis, which tend to be two things that I get stuck with a lot.
Yeah, the two things you don't want to drink, you put them together and you make something to drink.
Yeah, and you just kind of hold your nose and you just try to suck it down.
Just get through it. That's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. Also, check us out on Patreon, where subscribers can unlock The Sloppy Boys Blowout, our weekly bonus episode. Wow.
That show is cool.
Mm-hmm. And hey, while you're at it, come check us out on tour, live in the flesh.
This weekend, East Coast.
Because we're a band, first and foremost.
We'll talk to you later, folks.
Bye, folks.
Bye.